Now, on the Miraya Breakfast Show, we have Malice Lojok, who is a student of St. Francis Primary School here in Juba. And we have Alice Jackson, is also a student of St. Francis Primary School here in Juba. And joining us also in the team, joining us in the studio here is Alfred Orono Orono, who is a head of Anmis Child Protection Unit. So the kids definitely will be the one talking and interviewing Alfred here with us in the studio. Malice, good morning.
Good morning. I'm very happy and very glad to be with you today in the morning in Radio Miraya 101, who has always supporting and interesting children in the school. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And we have Alice Jackson. Alice, how are you? Good morning.
I'm fine. I'm very glad to be with you here. Today we have a visitor, Mr. Orom.
Mm-hmm. Alfred, yes.
Yeah, Alfred Orom. So I'm very glad to see him here and to be with him here. Thank you.
Yes, I'm giving you the chance right away to talk to Alfred Orono Orono, who is the head of Anmis Child Protection Unit. So if you have any question, please, the two of you can just begin talking to Alfred.
Our listeners outside there can always greet you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And we are today having a conversation with the United Nations mission in South Sudan, child protection. And I'm very happy, as we are going to do, just raise up the voice of your radio, because it is very glad to hear it. And today our topic of discussion is UNMISS child protection. And we are having a question between to Romo. The first one is, what lesson have you learned when working with the children? As when we are working with the children, there's some lessons that you are having from them. What are the questions? What are the lessons you have got?
Dennis, thank you very much for being here with us today. I'm very delighted to be here and interviewed by you. In terms of the lessons I've learned when working children, there's one very strong lesson. That is that children are very resilient. They are able to withstand a lot of problems and still remain smiling. You know, South Sudan currently is going through a lot of problems, but when you walk around, even those children who are hungry are still able to make a smile. So the lesson I've learned is that they are very resilient, but they are also very intelligent. They are aware of their problems, and when you look into them, you can see a determination to live and a determination to make their lives better. The only need is to support from their parents, from the community, and from the government.
Okay. Yes, you said it is support from the government and the family. What if for example, the father and the mother is a drunkard, and the government is not supporting them? As you, the UNMISS, what will you tell them as a guidance and the government?
In terms of guidance, you know, the issues you have mentioned are not only happening in South Sudan. Mm. These are problems that face children all over the world, even in developing countries. They have parents who are drunkards, and the only difference here is that in the developed countries, they have got the social support system. The government helps them. Now, in our situation here in South Sudan, it becomes more complicated. And what we try to do is to engage the government, on these issues. And I think you noticed that, 2 months ago, the government issued legislation in support of especially the children who are on the streets. And those are some of the ways that we can try to help. But again, it needs more education to parents to make sure that they understand their responsibility, that if you bring a child to this world, you have got responsibility over that child. You cannot just give responsibility to the government, but also the community. You know, South Sudan is a very communal society, and we have to strengthen those structures within the community to be able to support children. You've seen in your village that you go and stay with your uncle, your auntie. We have got a very large social network.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, let's give a chance to Alice as well. Alice, you have some questions, please.
So, Mr. Alfred, childhood for many children in South Sudan has been stolen by the conflict. It is really not fair for children to suffer the side effects of something they did not dream of. How is your office helping children whose dreams have been shattered by the conflict?
I should start by saying that as we're speaking now, I think all of us have a lot of hope because of the peace that's coming, the agreement that has been signed. I think that's going to be the basis for all ways of resolving the issues affecting children. There's nothing really more terrible than for you to be affected by something that you are not of your making when you're just a victim, like the children in South Sudan and in other countries where there's conflict. They have no role in this conflict, but they find themselves. And in fact, they are the ones who are majorly affected by conflict all over. And what our office does is, as I say, the primary responsibility lies with the families, and then, of course, the government. But the enemies, we work together to support the government. You know, this is a new government, and it started immediately in conflict. And we work together with them. We're supporting the government to identify some of these areas, working with other partners of the United Nations, like WFP, providing food, UNICEF providing education and sanitation, UNESCO providing education. So, as you know, UNMISS works together with all these UN, as one UN, to make sure that we try our best to support the government in its work to support the children and help the children. We work with the government on their laws and regulations that are protecting children. And as UNMISS Child Protection, we work especially with children affected by conflict. I don't know whether you have heard about the ceasefire violations, that we work with the government and the parties of conflict to make sure that children are not recruited to the army, they are not raped, they are not killed during the conflict, they are not abducted, they are not sexually assaulted, and the schools where they're going to study and hospitals are not attacked and destroyed, and humanitarian access is provided to them wherever they need it. So that's how we work with the government to try to alleviate this big problem with children. But as I said, I think the future looks bright. If this agreement sticks, I think the future of children in South Sudan is going to be good.
Okay, thank you. And the third question is, what is the UNMISS Child Protection until doing to help my fellow children displaced by the conflict, especially those out of school?
As I mentioned, we're working together with the government, because we cannot take over the role of the government in the protection of children. So what we do is we engage with the government, we identify areas where we can provide support to the government in order to help children. And those are out of school, our colleagues, I think you'll be talking to them in the next few minutes from UNICEF. Really, as you can see everywhere, UNICEF is almost everywhere in this country trying to support the children. Those are out of school. And the government, as I said, passed the legislation to protect those children without parents who are loitering along the streets. And we also work with the faith-based groups, with the churches and the mosques, and because those are people who work directly with the children when they go to the mosque or go to church. So there's a lot of things that our office is doing this is a big problem. You know, it covers the whole country. There are children everywhere. A very large percentage of a population in this country is children. There are those when the POC comes. UNMISS works to provide with their partners to provide services to children in the POCs in around the country, and also those are displaced outside the POCs.
Alice?
So is there anything you regret either having done or not having done as a child?
What I regret not having done, I wish I'd attended all my classes when I was in primary school, because I used to skip class a lot. And but eventually I was able to recover, and my advice to all children is, please take education seriously. That teacher can be very boring, but what he's trying to teach you is something very important. It's very nice to keep sleeping after 6 o'clock instead of waking up to go to school, but please try your best, because eventually you'll understand that it's very important to go to school. There's nothing better than education. It's the biggest weapon for fighting everything, poverty, ignorance, and disease.
Mm-hmm. Yes, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Then the third one. What is the most memorable story that you have learned, that you have ever heard from a child in South Sudan?
It was last year in Yambio when we had got to prepare the release of children who were with the South Sudan National Liberation Movement and the South Sudan People's Liberation Movement in opposition. And I saw this young man was clenching a Kalashnikov. And I remembered my own experience as a former child soldier. And I called him and I said, can you have a talk? We sat with him on a desk. And I asked him what had happened. He explained to me the story how the rebels had had a fight with the government, and his house was destroyed. His parents were killed, and he decided to go along with the rebels. Not a decision, but he had no other choice but to go along with the rebels. And he was trained. And one time, when they were fighting, they came along their village and found all his houses had been burnt, and he realized that he had no other place to go but to stay with the rebels. So when the government came into an agreement with the rebels, they decided to come back, and I asked him what his plans was. He said, if I can go back to school, I'd be very grateful. I said, yeah, and I explained to him my own situation. I told him what brought me to him now is that I went back to school, and I was able to get education, and I was now a chief of child protection and armies. And listening to him, I remembered my own experience, and we had that attachment to him. And recently, when we went back to check on the children, he was one of those who benefited from the reintegration services provided by UNICEF. And he was also going to church, and I think he was staying at the bishop's house in Yambio. So for me, I'll never forget that, and seeing a kid who was so determined, despite everything that had happened to him, he still had hope and wanted to go back to school.
Great. Alice?
If I may ask, who was your favorite teacher at school and why?
My favorite teacher at school, school from primary, secondary, high school, university, I think university. I would say my favorite teacher in university was a very kind lady. I was taking a class in women studies, and I was the only man in the class. And despite the fact that the university, but people would always be laughing in the class about why a man was studying issues of women. Mm-hmm. But my teacher was very, very encouraging. Now, when it came time to exams, having studied in Africa, I was now in a university in Canada. They brought an exam, supposed to be open book. I didn't understand what open book exam was. In open book exam, you're supposed to go with all your textbooks to class, and then you do that. But me, I went with one of my pen. So when she saw me with my pen on that textbook, she rushed to her office and brought me the textbooks to. I told her, what these are for? She said, no, it's for open book exam. So I remembered how concerned she was about me and the kindness. And up to today, we're in touch. Mrs. Eloise Murray lives in Nova Scotia. She's up to today my favorite teacher because she sympathized with this kid from Africa who had not understand how examinations
work. The system works, yeah. Alice, one more question from you, and then finally from... yes, go ahead.
So, Mr. Oromo, we understand that children have rights, but these rights are not known to our parents and guidance and even teachers. What can we do? What can we do to raise awareness about children's rights?
Exactly. That's what we are doing here in this broadcast. I hope your parents are listening. And I hope that when we invite them to engagement with UNICEF, our partners invite them to an engagement and trying to teach them about children's rights, they will listen. I hope that they will be able to read the laws of South Sudan. I hope that with the support of ANMIS, we'll be able to go across the whole country to highlight the rights of children. This morning, when I leave here, we're going for a workshop being held by... We've invited all the division commanders of the South Sudan People's Defense Forces. In the Dembish Hotel. We're going here for 3 days. They are going to be our child protection focal points in all the barracks of South Sudan. And we're going to impart this message of protecting the rights of children. And I hope they'll be going around the whole country in the barracks. We plan to train about 1,200 South Sudan People's Defense Forces child protection focal points who will be sending this message about the protection of children. And our partners are also on a daily basis calling workshops to highlight the issues of children's rights. And I hope you yourselves also will have to remind your parents that you have rights and your parents have to respect those rights.
Okay, thank you so much. Before we go for the others, I have two questions before I complete with the first one. What will you tell the guidance of pupils who are not in the school, and what will be your advice to that, to the guidance?
To mean to the guidance of children not in school?
Yeah.
Try as much as possible to encourage children to go back to school. I know it's very difficult during a conflict right now because some schools have been destroyed, people in displaced people's camps. But as you know, in displaced people camps, the UN has tried to put education facilities. But try as much as possible to provide children education, because that's the biggest weapon. I remember when I was growing up in Uganda, we had some of our classes under the trees. And I think that's something that happens in South Sudan as well. You can get education anywhere at any time, as long as you are willing to take it. So my advice to those guardians that please do not start think of sending children to do work, labor, and all that, get money. Try your best to send children to get education.
Oh, thank you. Let us, the list, finally, for many children who have had the opportunity to come to the to radio and speak with the chief of the chief protection, until what message do you have for the children?
My message to the children of South Sudan, those who have not been able to come here and those who are listening, is that one, listen to your parents. When you are growing up, you think you are more intelligent than your parent, but sometimes your parents have got information that through experience that they want to pass into you. Sometimes not everything they tell you is okay. Things like when they try telling you about tribes and discriminating against other tribes, those are the kind of things that you're not going to listen to your parents, because we are all one tribe, we're all one race, a human race. So there are other messages they teach you about surviving in the society and the community. Listen to that. Listen to your teachers. And for girls, forget about getting married when you are still young. And when someone comes to you trying to encourage you to get married to them, tell them, listen, give me an opportunity first to study. And once I'm old and have my job, then we can marry and can start a very good life. But right now, I don't want you to turn me into your wife and then just stay at home serving you and producing children for you like I'm a factory. Yeah.
Right. So, Mr. Alfred, do you have any question for them too?
Yes, I was going to ask you that. What's your plan for South Sudan? What's your plan for your family? And what's your plan for the world?
Well, thank you for your question, Mr. Alfred. And for my plan, first, I want to finish my school. After I finish my school, all, and I want to become a person as like you for, you know, United Nations mission in South Sudan child protection. I want to come and protect for those who have gone through the violence and the conflict in our country. And for my plan for my family or my guidance, I want to be a good person and I want to return their balance of which they spend for my education.
And for your country?
For my country, my plan is if they could have bring the real peace in our country and we could not fly out from this country or would they display us from this country, I want to become a good person in this country. I want to plan all the children who have been suffer a lot in this in the conflict and the guidance and all my brothers. I want to be a good person in future in our country, and I want to develop it.
Right.
Alice.
So first of all, for my parents, if I finish my school, but my parents, as they are poor, but I want to help them first. And for my country, also I want to help the country to develop wealth. All of us has a child. We want to cooperate in growing, developing the country. And that one will not come just simple like this, but if we study it very hard.
Right.
Yeah, but really, you can see the difference between women and men. She thinks about her family and country, and she has not said about yourself. How about yourself? What's your plan for yourself?
Also, my plan for myself, I cannot forget myself. Also, I want to study very hard to help myself also.
All right.
And I want to be also in the, I want to join the United Nations.
Oh, great.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Alfred Orono for coming and talking to the children and answering their questions. Really, really do appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.